welcome to our family, the new faces around the room, the boys from Chicago, and those who are close to Caleb, and thank you for coming and giving us chizuk. As a family, we experience many things. Sometimes we experience the heights of joy and the heights of simcha. We sing, we dance, we hug each other out of simcha. But as a family, we also come together to give each other koach, to give each other chizuk during difficult times. It's very difficult to be here in your presence, and it's very difficult to speak about Caleb in the past tense. We're going to be offering some words of hesped. Rabbi David is going to be speaking, and then possibly one of the other rabbis, depending on the time, will be davening mincha and seitan together. If you want to understand the type of loss that we feel together as a family, you don't really have to go far. Yaakov's children come to Yaakov, and they tell Yaakov, they hand him a robe of Yosef, and they tell Yaakov, this is Yosef's robe in blood. And Yaakov's reaction is the way that we are feeling now. Yaakov's reaction is in shock. Yaakov's reaction is not understanding. How could it be? A beast devoured my son. A machla, a tremendous, terrible illness, devoured our dear Tamid, our close friend. And as much as Nechama, that Yaakov's family tries to give Yaakov, he can't be consoled. It's too much, it's too hard, it's too painful. And some of us in this room are feeling that sense of pain. Pain of loss. How could it be? And the only feeling of, just share with you just for myself, a sense of Nechama. I'm very inspired by what this yeshiva, by what this family did on behalf of Caleb, and what Caleb did on behalf of us. It was only a few weeks ago when the Beit Midrash was filled, and the Kol Torah was amazing for the Refuah Shleima of Caleb. 6,500 dafim plus of Chazara. Didn't go to waste. It was heard, and it gave a tremendous amount of koach. And it was an unbelievable experience to be part of a mishpacha, part of a family together. Everyone feels that sense of achdut, that sense of responsibility, that sense of accountability. And the young boys that just came back from Chicago, that went to for Thanksgiving and were by his side, to give him that koach, that support, that his last wish to be with his friends, surrounded by his friends, unbelievable. What an unbelievable opportunity. And Caleb gave to us. He gave to us by his demeanor. Just want to share with you one experience that I had, and I can go on forever, and I'm going to let Rabbi David speak. Before Caleb joined yeshiva, we knew that he was sick, and we didn't know how to help him in the airport because we knew there was no way he was able to carry his bags. We went back and forth, correspondence, email, back and forth. You know, my initial response is, yeah, the guy will help him in the airport to carry his bags, not a mission. And that's a lie. If you know Caleb, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't want to burden anyone. I don't want to. Why should they feel like that?
So it's like this,
and that's how we handle it. That was him. What a sense of simcha! No matter what tribulations and what pain and what sickness you have, what gentle, beautiful, amazing soul of a neshama that he had. Such humility, such simcha that he had. And this is what's missing from us. But also such courage. Courage to be able to come to Eretz Yisrael. Courage to be able to say, I want to be like everybody else. Courage to fight and to have a koach. And if this treatment's not going to work, I'm going to do another treatment. This is the lesson.
The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Echad min ha-chabura shenes, yidagu kol ha-chabura. If chas v'sholom, a member of the chabura, of the yeshiva, of Torah Shraga, passes on, Ribono Shalom, as Rabbi Amalek said, took a neshama tahora, yidagu kol ha-chabura. All of us have to be concerned. All of us have to be in anguish. We don't understand Darkei Hashem. Darkei Hashem are nistorim from us, completely hidden from us. These parshas that we are reading now are a clear indication of that. I often cite a Beis Halevi in the beginning of Parshas Miketz, this week's parsha. But the Beis Halevi, the yesod of the Beis Halevi is one can see throughout the Torah. But just briefly, Beis Halevi comments on Sukkim, the beginning of Miketz. The Torah speaks about a dream that Paro had, Melech Mitzrayim. Suddenly Paro became a dreamer. Lashon Hova, the Torah uses. And the Torah describes the dream of Paro. And a bit later, the Torah tells us, he's perturbed. He doesn't have the wherewithal to interpret the dream. He calls all the dreamologists. He calls all the necromancers of Mitzrayim. And he asks them for interpretation. And he's not satisfied with what they offer. And as a result, a bit later, the Sarah Mashkim comes on the scene and tells Paro about his experience in prison where he encountered Nar Ivri Eved, who was able to interpret the dream that he had then, and he suggests to Paro maybe he come forth. Yosef comes forth, interprets the dream to the satisfaction of Paro, and as a result, he becomes the Mishnah Melech Mitzrayim, becomes the Viceroy of the King of Egypt. So the Beis Halevi has several questions that he asks at the beginning of Miketz. One, he asks why the term Miketz is used. The term Miketz throughout Tanakh always implies the end of an epoch, the end of an era, the end of a zeitgeist. That's the term Miketz. What zeitgeist are we referring to here? What end of any epoch is the Torah actually concretizing? And there are many examples he brings. For example, in Parshas Bo, the Torah says, "Vayihi miketz shloshim shana be'arba me'ashana vayi be'etzem hayom hazeh yotzu kol tzimas Hashem eretz Mitzrayim." So Rashi comments over there that Hashem, at the exact moment, synchronized down to the second, the moment that Klal Yisrael was supposed to emerge from Egypt, at that moment, the Ribono Shel Olam takes action. And as Rashi answers, and Rashi comments, not a second earlier, not a second later. So here also apparently there's some sort of end of some era. What era are we talking about? Secondly, suddenly Paro becomes a dreamer, Paro Cholein, but the Beis Halevi cites a Medrash. The Medrash says, of course, the Pasuk in Iyov, where the Navi says, Ken sam lachoshech ulechol tachlis uchoker. The Medrash says that there was an end to the darkness. What does that mean? That's what the Navi says in Iyov. So the Medrash interprets that to mean, in this context, the time came for Yosef to be released from incarceration. Yosef was incarcerated, as we know, the end of Ayeshev, what we just read. But the Sar Mashkin forgets about Yosef. Another 2 years, Yosef's in prison. Rashi quotes at the end of Ayeshev, Ashri Agev Asher Sam Hashem Miftach Vel Panei Ovehavim. So 2 more years Yosef is in prison, says the Medrash. Now the time came for Yosef to be released, and therefore suddenly Paro has a dream. Says the Beis HaLevi, that which we think is the cause is the effect, and that which we think is the effect is the cause. We tend to misinterpret Jewish history. There's a plan here. Hashem has a plan that he's about to bring into fruition, about to come to reality. But not as we would tend to think, namely, that we have, shall we say, a whole series of different episodes that occurred prior to this, Mechiras Yosef, and even way before that, in Vayeshev, we see Mechiras Yosef, but much earlier in the Torah speaks about a well-known pasuk. It's actually, Rashi alludes to it here in Vayeshev, what we just read yesterday. So Rashi comments, what's Me'eme Chevron? Chevron Bahar, it's in a mountain. So Rashi says, Me'etza Amukah shall also tzadik akavi b'chevron. This entire saga of Yosef goes way back, many, many years earlier, when Hashem told Avraham Avinu in the Bris Ben Absorim, Ki geri yezaracho be'eretz lo lahem, v'avod nevinu osam rabba mi'oshona. There's a nevuah, and that nevuah somehow has to come to realization, and of course Hashem in his panoramic vision, which we don't have, we're very finite, we're very limited, where our vision is extremely limited, even myopic in many respects. But the vision of Hashem Yisbarach is absolutely all-encompassing, all-enveloping. So that plan already, at that point in time, the Bris Ben Absarim is going to have to come to reality. And so Hashem is now going to carry out that plan. But all of us are completely blinded. We think there are all kinds of events taking place and events occurring here and there without any nexus, without any connection between any of the events. But what is happening here, says the Beis HaLevi, all this is a realization of that Havtocha given to Avraham Avinu, the Bris Ben Absarim. So that which we think is the cause is the effect. All this, Paro has a dream. It's the end of an era. What era? The era of Yosef being in prison. The time came now for Yosef and his incarceration to end, to be released from imprisonment. So now Paro has a dream, and the rest is, as they say, history. Beis HaLevi actually proves this from a very fascinating Rashi. Rashi, in the context of Lot, much earlier, Malachim come to Avraham Avinu, a bit later they come to Lot, and the Torah says Lot again, wines them and dines them, similar to his mentor, Avraham Avinu, and the Pasuk says, U'matzos ofa v'yochelu, he bakes matzos. So Rashi says, Pesach haya. So the question, of course, every one of us is going to ask, Pesach. When did the under of Pesach come into being? Much later, years later, when the story of Shibud Mitzrayim occurred, and Gulas Mitzrayim, and we say in the Haggadah, why are we eating this matzah? Al shum shalom hispik mitzegam shalom osemu l'achmitz, till HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along and redeemed us. So what in heaven's name is Rashi saying? Pesach haya, and why is Lot offering matzahs? So the Beis HaLevi says, again in line with his thinking, we think that the reason we eat matzah is because of the whole saga of Shibud Mitzrayim and Gulas Mitzrayim, as Rav Soloveitchik once put it in Yiddish, Geschichte über Gedeit auf dem Kopf. Just the opposite. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah. So what did Hashem do? Hashem decided to create a whole saga of Yetzias Mitzrayim in order that we should eat matzah. He claims this is taught in the Pasuk, Ba'avur Zeh, Zeh is something that you can point to, matzah, the Mechilta. Also Hashem leave, it tastes in Mitzrayim. That's what Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And that which we think is the cause is the effect. But I'm not saying all this is because Darkei Hashem is done. We don't understand Darkei Hashem at all. Rebbe Hashem has a plan. There's a plan for all of us. There's a plan for Klal Yisrael. Each one of us are obligated to follow Darkei Hashem. And we know at the end of the day that Hashem wants only that which is best for us. The Ramban writes in this parasha, famous Ramban, in Perek Lamed Zayin. Ramban says, examining all that which I spoke about a moment ago, so the Ramban uses the following language. Ki agzera emes v'charitzu sheker. The Gzera of Hashem is Baruch. That's the emes. All that which we do, we try to carry out the Dvar Hashem as best we can. And of course, that's what Hashem wants us to do. But at the end of the day, there are heavenly plans, divine matters that we don't understand. Even the psukim in this week's parsha that we just read, Yosef is sent by his father on a mission. And that's where the pasuk that I mentioned a moment ago occurs. And then the Torah has a series of mystifying psukim. Some man meets him in the field. The Torah doesn't identify whom he is. Suddenly this man meets Yosef wandering about aimlessly and asks him, what are you looking for? And Yosef answers, as Achaya Nochim Bavakesh. However you interpret that, I'm looking for my brothers, or I'm looking for Achva that was lost, as Rashi and other Rishonim point out. What is going on here? Yosef is looking for his brothers. Suddenly, in the middle of nowhere, he meets someone. He asks him, do you know who my brothers are? And this fellow says, yeah, I just happened to eavesdrop. Shamati Omrim Nechol Desoima. I just happened to overhear them say they're going in a certain direction. And as a result, Yosef finds his brother. It's almost inexplicable. The answer is, Ribbono Shel Olam is operating. The puppeteer is moving the puppets. We are mere puppets. Of course we have the Bechira Chavshis. I'm not getting into the philosophic issue now of how is it that Ribbono Shel Olam is operating, directing traffic, and we have Bechira. But the Ribbono Shel Olam has plans that we just and not zochah to fully understand. Last year, I went to Chicago to visit Caleb. And as Rabbi Amalei Shlita said a moment ago, not only was he a neshama tahora, such a beautiful neshama, he was mekabel mi b'sefer panim yafos, such Beit Adam Achavero, mind-boggling. I was with him and his mother, Shlita. Not only his friendliness, his whole attitude, b'chlal, towards life, was so positive, so optimistic, so cheerful, so radiant, I was literally totally floored, completely flabbergasted. And that was a reflection, as Rabbi Elmaleh said, of this beautiful neshama. I'm sure many of you heard what happened many years ago on a Friday night. Nachshon Waksman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Hashem Yimkom Lomo, was killed by terrorists. I had just come to Eretz Yisrael. This was in the year 94. And I, together with Klal Yisrael, went to the Kesel Maravi. He was taken captive by terrorists. And we all went. Hundreds of thousands of people. I, in my life, never saw anything like it. I just come to Eretz Yisrael. I was astounded by what I saw. Every single type of Jew was there, including observant, non-observant, all the different, quote-unquote, multi-hued flavors of Klal Yisrael. All were gathered. It was amazing. And tragically, unfortunately, he was killed on Friday night on Leil Shabbos. And then they asked his parents, what happened to all the tefillos? A question that I would not ask. So I believe his mother, Shlita, answered, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Shemeya Tefillah. Hashem listens to all our tefillahs. Doesn't mean he's mekabel. Doesn't mean, shall we say, that because we daven with all of our heart and soul, that our tefillahs automatically are going to, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to respond affirmatively. But all those tefillahs redound unquestionably to our credit. And who knows, she said, how many tragedies were averted because of those tefillos. Wow, what a statement of a mother. What a statement. Esther Waxman. Mind-boggling. Extraordinary. Emuna. And I say that all the thousands of hours that you, Baruch Hashem, was zeicher to learn in Hizkus, it's not Lurik. Chas v'sholom. It didn't go to Ibud. Ribbono shel Olam is looking down upon this yeshiva, and Ribbono shel Olam unquestionably sees all this chusid, unbelievable merit that this yeshiva has, every one of you, and collectively the yeshiva as a whole has, for all the learning that was done on behalf of Kim. We say in the Slichos, Yehi Ratzon, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shomea Kol Bichyos, Hashem who listens to our tears. The Gemara says at the end of Hazov, fourth paragraph of Baba Tzia, also elsewhere the Gemara points this out. That even though Shari Tfilah Ninalu, the gates of Tfilah have been closed since the Churban HaMikdash, Shari Dmaos Lo Ninalu, the gates of tears are not closed. And we all daven with tears for Caleb. And the Baruch Shalom, Slicha says, Shetosim dinos dimaisenu binoit chalios. He should take all of our tears and collect them in a flask. V'tatzileinu mikol gzeras achzorios. It's exactly what Esther Waxman said. She was citing the Slichas. We should be saved from all types of terrible, terrible gzeros against Klal Yisrael. Because at the end of the day, l'chol avad inyan l'tlios. We are dependent completely on Hashem Yisbarach. We are totally kafel to Hashem Yisbarach. There's no doubt that Caleb was an extraordinary young man in every sense of the term. And all of us saw it. Those who were zeicher to know him, all of us were zeicher, some a bit more, some a bit less. Darkei Hashem Nistorim. There's a plan we don't understand. I can only describe him as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Shayef Ayil v'Shayef Nofik. Such a tznius, such a modesty, such a warmth about him. There's not even a shemitz of gaiva, not a shemitz of ego in his personality. The most beautiful personality one could possibly encounter. Baruch Shalom took his holy neshama and neshama Torah. They have to be mekabel gzeir of Hashem Yisbarach with all the difficulty and all the pain that Rav Amalei Shlita mentioned. It's a very, very painful, incredibly Messiah thing. But we have to, all of us, be mitchazik, as I mentioned at the very beginning. Echa mechabura shemeis yidagu kol chabura. I don't exactly know the parameters of that statement in Chazal, but I do know that all of us have an achrayus to continue lahansiach es nishmasa, that his neshama should be with us lanetzach, and even the limud haTorah and the tefillah that we do and the tears that we shed on his behalf, Ribbono shel Olam is collecting all of it, and it's going to be l'zchuso, it's going to be redoubled to his credit. We can continue to be mezakeh his neshama. Meshama Tahura, by our behavior, by our kiyum hamitzvos, by our limud haTorah, by our chesed, and unquestionably, that will be a tremendous chus for such a neshama tahura. Halavai, we should take upon ourselves the achrayus, the responsibility. It's a massive achrayus, but it's one that such a neshama tahura was deserving of. And be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we should be zocher. Only to only smachot, only simchis, bila amavus ha-netzach, somehow Hashem should only guide us, b'siyata d'shemaya, to things of a simchatic nature, and all the Klal Yisrael shall only be zoche to Yeshua Tzunechamus.
Gemara in Chagiga, Tesvach and Mudbeis, in the name of Rabbi Meir, Bizman Sha'adam Mitzta'er, Shechina Ma'alashon Omeres. At a time that a person is in pain, what is the Shechina in Shemayim? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizroi. A person says, my head hurts, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim says, my head hurts. A person says, my arm hurts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my arm hurts. We hear, definitely those that knew Caleb, and some of us knew him even more than others. If our hearts are pained, then at Shemayim right now, Shechina Ma'omeres Kalani Belibi. That his pain, his heart is in pain. The Gemara Bracho says that Akover as Banav, somebody that buries their children, Mochlun Lo Al Kol Avanosav. They're forgiven for all of their sins. It takes something very big, and very painful, and very huge for somebody to get a mechila and all their sins, no matter what sins they possibly would have had. The loss that we have over here is something that huge, something that big. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kufnun Aleph. Rabbi Chinina Shchiva Le Barte. Rabbi Chinina, his daughter, was Nifter. Lo Hava Kabachela. And he wasn't crying over the loss of his daughter. Amalei Debetu, his wife said to him, Tarnagota Afik Mi Beitach. What, did you just bury a rooster? You buried your child, why aren't you crying? Amala Tarte. Two things I need to have to me, Tichla V'Ivra, both Shikul Banim, both the loss of my children and also the blindness of the eyes. So Rashi says the Pasha Pshad, the blindness of the eyes is, if I let myself tear, that's dangerous for the eyes, that's not healthy for the eyes. Why do I need to do that to myself? But it's hard to say that that's the only Pshat over here in this Gemara. That was the deep message that the Gemara wanted to give across. Rabbi Chanina was trying to protect his eyes. And I imagine, I think this chat is said, that the idea that Rabbi Chanina was saying is that, yes, a person feels pain, but they also don't have to make themselves blind. They don't have to look at things in the wrong kind of a way. One of the things that a person has to work on at the time that they face a tragedy such as this is not to be blind at such a tragedy and to respond with the wrong reactions and the wrong thoughts, but instead to train oneself and use this opportunity to build one emunah, and to react in the way that Jew is meant to react in these situations. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, Kabbalah di Yisurim, Shtikuto Mibai Rachame, that the Mesorah that we have, the Jewish people have, for how we deal with Yisurim and tragedies, is that we're quiet, Shtikuto Mibai Rachame, and we turn to Hashem for Rachamim. And we learned this, one of the first places that we see this was by Aaron HaKohen. It says by Aaron HaKohen, when he lost two of his children, the Edom Aaron. Aaron was silent. He was quiet. He didn't respond with words or with a reaction. One of the Mepharshim explained by Edom, why specifically that word, by Edom Aaron? It's Milashon Domim. Because we know that a human being and an animal respond to pain. Both they feel pain and they react and they respond to the pain. They do something because of the fact that they're pain. Plants, so they don't necessarily do something because of the fact that they're in pain, but you could see a different type of plants, that they're withering or they're hurt when there's something affecting plants. But domain, rocks, floor, table, earth, so they're not affected by pain at all. No matter how much you bang a rock and hurt a rock, the rock doesn't feel the pain and the rock doesn't express the pain. Ve'idom Aaron, one of the things that Aaron was teaching us to do is to turn ourselves into a domain. In that, yes, a person is meant to feel pain, but he was quiet like a rock in terms of how he expressed himself based on his reaction to it. Not coming with questions on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not coming with complaints to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the Rosh Hashivas Rebbeim of Tzeinvert, of Nata Tzeinvert, so I was okay to get to see him also a couple of times. So does he have a brother of Nata Tzeinvert? So his brother of Nata Tzeinvert, so he once went to the Shiva house of Rav Afal Orbach, who was sitting Shiva for one of his sons who was killed in a suicide bombing. So if not, the same vert went to be menachem him. So he went into the shiva house and he asked the father. He said, "Let me ask you a question. If the malach wouldn't have come to Avraham Avinu and told him, 'Don't shecht Yitzchak,' if Avraham would have gone ahead with the shechting and the killing of Yitzchak, would he have had to sit shiva? Would he have had to then sit in avela, sit in shiva over Yitzchak after Akedas Yitzchak?" So Rav Orbach said, "For sure. For sure he would have to, because if Avraham wouldn't sit shiva then, so what's the message? That something like a Akedas Yitzchak, that's the Ratzon Hashem. But other times that a child is nifter, that's not the Ratzon Hashem. But they're all equally the Ratzon Hashem. They're all equally the declaration of Hashem, and this is what's meant to happen." So if Tzein Vert said, "That's what I wanted to hear you say, Hamakom Yinachem Eschem," and he walked out. Rav Moshe Shapiro was nifter last year, so he had lost one of his daughters during his lifetime, and had the Levaya for his daughter. So he got up and he said, he quoted the Gemara in Kiddushin, Shlosha Shutvin Yesh Ba'adam, that in the creation of a person, so of a baby, of a man, so there's three partners, the father, the mother, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, "I don't understand. How could it be that one of the partners, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, could go and hurt the business or do something without asking the permission of the other two partners first? Why didn't the third partner, Kadosh Baruch Hu, come and talk to the other two partners to ask what our opinion is on this?" And then he answered his own question at the Levaya for his daughter, and he said, "Because obviously there was no chova here at all. There was obviously nothing bad here that happened at all. It was something that was a schus and zachan la adam shalom b'fanav. That the rule with partners is that you can make a decision on the part of the other partners if you know that it's only good, and only good is going to come from this. So even though we," said Moshe Shapiro, "my wife and I, we don't necessarily see, we can't feel the good that's in it, but since HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees and knows everything and knows the good that will end up coming out of this, so he knows that this is only good for us and for her, and Zachan La'adam Shalom B'fanav." The Chavetz Chaim also, in his lifetime, buried one of his children, Rabbi Avram, and he actually wasn't even there for the Levaya. He missed the Levaya of his own son. He had been in Warsaw, probably working on the publication of one of the volumes of the Mishneh Berurah. And when he came back to Radin, his son was already at the Levaya, and he went straight to sit shiva. And the first thing that he said, and what they say that he said every day afterwards, he kept on saying the pasuk, Hashem Nasar, Hashem Lakach, Yishem Hashem Mavorach. That Hashem gives, and Hashem takes, the name of Hashem be blessed. One of the things, and he said, "Now I know I'm a Jew." That's what Chavetz Chaim said. "Now I know I'm a Yid." In other words, part of the essence of a Yid, of a Jew, is to understand that it's not just that when we see a tragedy, there has to be two reactions to it. That you feel the loss, you know that Hashem is the one that made this decision. But you have to also remember at the same time, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu that gave me that son to begin with. He never actually had to exist at all to begin with. And if I'm going to be pained over the loss and when he's taken, I also have to be thankful for the fact that I had him even to begin with. Not only to recognize and see Hashem with the things that we wanted to happen that didn't happen, that we're upset about, but to then take that recognition and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thank Him for all the things that He does give us. It could have happened that Caleb never would have come to Eretz Yisrael, never would have come to Torah Traga, and never would have left the effect that He had on us. It could have been that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have had a nifter earlier. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had everything work out in such a way that when He would be nifter, He'd be nifter with over 10,500 dapim coming to Shemayim with, which most people don't get to do that in a lifetime. Many people don't get to do that in a lifetime. And not only that, but the people that He's affected, there's nobody that's affected the learning in Torah Traga, not a Talmud, not a Rebbe, in the way that Caleb left that effect. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the schus in his lifetime, in the short lifetime that he had, to affect the world in a way that some people in their entire lifetime will never affect it like that. And he can continue to leave that positive effect. And that's also in our hands. I think I heard a story also, there was somebody that was, he was davening, there was some big gadol, a rav, that was dying, and everybody was in the shul, davening, crying. And then the rav was nifter, and they all, you know, stopped and left and started to prepare for the levaya. And somebody saw this guy was still davening, they saw obviously he doesn't realize, so they went over to him, And they said that the Rav was nifter, it's over. So he closed his Tehillim, he put it in his pocket, and he took out a pocket Mishnayos from his other pocket and started to learn Mishnayos. He said, what is that? So he said, well, as long as it was in our hands to daven, our job was to daven. Now we could learn the Eloi Nishmaso. So we take out a Mishnayos and we begin to learn the Eloi Nishmaso. And it doesn't stop. The greatest act of love, the best thing you could do, if you want to give Caleb a hug right now, if you want to hold his hand, if you want to be the best friend that you could to him, then is to give him the thing that's going to help him the most, which is the learning of Mishnayos and any learning and Torah acts or Kabbalahs or mitzvos that we take upon ourselves. If there's something negative that we're doing, that we take upon ourselves to stop doing Le'ilu Nishmaso, we can't imagine the tremendous Nachas Ruach and goodness that gives to his neshama. A neshama tahara, like the Rosh Hashiva said, it's hard to imagine that his suffering wouldn't have been enough to make him completely clean and much more than that. I was thinking it says Yaakov Avinu, like Rabbi Amali mentioned, so Yosef is called his Ben Zakunim. One of the pshats in Ben Zakunim was that Ben Chakim Shalom, that Yaakov taught him all of his chachma. Rashi says, all the Torah that Yaakov learned in Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever, that's a lot of Torah that Yaakov learned in Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever. He lived there for many, many years, not sleeping. He learned before then, and he learned after that. He taught all of his Torah to Yosef. That means a lot of effort was put into Torah learning for Yosef, and Yaakov had all of his hopes in on Yosef. It says, Va'aviv Shamar Sadavar, he was waiting also for those chalomos to come into fruition in some kind of a way. And the Torah describes the pain that Yaakov had when he thought that Yosef was nifter. And he said that he's going to go to his kevers and go to his grave still in a beilus for Yosef. He said, this is a pain that I'm not going to be able to shake off of me. I'm going to carry this pain until I'm buried one day. And Rashi gives another pshat in that pasuk that He's when it says that he's going to go to Sheol, it's referring to Gehenim. Yaakov had a Kabbalah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu apparently promised to him, or gave him a sign. Yaakov wanted to know, he didn't want Gehenim. The last thing a tzaddik wants, the thing that's the worst for him is Gehenim, because Gehenim means I sinned, and the worst thing for a tzaddik is to sin. He doesn't want to wrong HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any kind of a way. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a siman, and he said, if none of your children die in your lifetime, that means you're not going to go to Gehenim. So now Yaakov saw, one of my children died in my lifetime, so I'm going to Gehenim. That means that I have a sin. That means that there's a sin separating me from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To Yaakov Avinu, that was the worst tragedy. That one day he'll be in Gehenim, that means that I'm carrying a sin right now. But we know, and something that even Yaakov then didn't know, what do we know? Yosef was alive. And this was actually the best thing for Yaakov, because Yaakov carried on him the responsibility of not having done Kibud Av V'Em for 22 years, and Yosef being away from Yaakov was a kapara and a cleansing for Yaakov for the 22 years that he didn't do Kibud Av V'Em, so he didn't have his son Yosef doing Kibud Av V'Em for him. So he thought that this is actually an expression of my being further from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to have Gehenim, but really, with clear vision from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was actually cleansing Yaakov even more than his Olam Haba was going to be even that much greater. End up with one more last idea in Ksuvis. It talks about when Rav was Nifter, it says that our Elim beat the Mitzukim.
Our Elim nitzru et the Mitzukim.
That the Malachim beat the Mitzukim, beat the people here on earth. Here on earth, the Gemara describes it with davening. In Shemayim, there, Elim, the Malachim, were trying to bring his neshama to Shemayim, and there was like a battle and a fight. And so finally, his maidservant smashed something because she wanted him to die to get him out of his suffering. They stopped davening, and he was nifter, went to Shemayim. Rav Steinman, he should also have refuah shleima. So he says, why would Malachim in Shemayim want somebody to be nifter so much? When somebody's alive, they can accomplish a lot. Then when they do mitzvahs, when they learn Torah, they can accomplish so much. They can make the world better. Why would the Malachim be against us? Why would the Malachim want to pull him to Shemayim? And he explains in the following way, a beautiful idea. says in the Talmud Devorah, the Sefer Talmud Devorah, that when somebody sins, right, this is from a Mishnah Perkei Avos, when somebody sins, he creates an avenging angel, a Malachi Chabala, that's going to come in one day, punish him for the sin if he doesn't do tshuva. And that Malach desires and wants to start to beat him already now while he's alive, but Hashem makes a decree holding that Malach back. No, you can't punish him yet. Give him a chance to do tshuva until he's nifter, and then we'll let you out to beat him if he hasn't done tshuva. So if that's true, says Rav Steinmetz, that's also true on the other end also. We know that Midah Tova Meruba, the same way that Malachi Chabala want to punish the Rasha for his sins, so the Malachi Ashares, who we create with the mitzvahs that we do, the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, we create Malachi Ashares, they have a yearning and desire, they just want to give somebody schar, they just want to repay them, and they just want to give to them the schar of the next world. They have a yearning to do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds them back for as long as there's more that they could still accomplish in this world and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision to keep him here. But that's why there would be a battle between the Malachim when there's somebody that there's just so much schar to give to them and so much that they want to give them that they want, that the yearning is pulling them to just want to give them that schar already. So Caleb had on him tremendous sechuyos to take the guys this year, the guys last year, and really change our lives, not just with the davening that we learn, but to put us in a different place. In Avodas Hashem, in Torah learning, to learn from him many, you know, many different things, and he now is enjoying those chuyos. And I think that if we would talk to the people that love him the most, that know him the most, and his parents, so I don't think that they're I'm not there, I can't know, but I think that they're only thankful, they're only happy, and they only gave him a good feeling in their heart. All the Torah learning that we did for them, I don't think it added a question in their heart. I think that if their son was going to be nifter, they want him to be nifter in this kind of a way, with this type of an awakening of Torah and Yir Shemai amongst us, and to know that Abi Mechazik ourselves in our reaction to this, and Amuna is also a schus to the neshama of Caleb.
Before we dive in Mincha and say it, well, Tehillim, I just want to say a quick idea, very briefly, about Caleb. Most of us in this room knew Caleb only when he was sick. I mean, when I met him 2 years ago, when I interviewed him in Chicago, he was much more healthy looking than when he got here. I can only imagine the boys in Chicago who knew him when he was an athlete, when he was the best athlete in the whole entire grade, when he was the life of, you know, everyone just loved spending time with him. We met a shell of that. For us, it's a little bit easier, I guess. Not easier is the wrong word, but you know, we saw someone who was sick who passed away. We didn't see someone who was healthy who passed away. But he was healthy X amount of years ago, just like us. Same hobbies and same habits and everything. And the boys in Chicago understand the loss much more than we do, because we met somebody who was already, unfortunately, fighting a battle. Personally, he was my sheer last year. I didn't say goodbye to him. I never said goodbye. He left. I went recruiting Thanksgiving time. Went back for a regular checkup. I mean, not regular, but a checkup because he was sick. It was supposed to be clean. It was supposed to be fine. And we all know in the end it wasn't. And I felt tremendous pang of guilt. And I would WhatsApp him, voice notes once in a while, and he never responded to me. He wasn't angry at me. He suddenly responded to our group chat. We're going bowling. You're talking about his bowling games when he was back in the day. He responded to me 2 weeks ago. I just want to play for you. It's one of the perks of a smartphone. It was when the guys went back to visit him in Chicago. And you don't understand the amount of chizik that you gave him. He speaks a little quietly, so maybe hard to hear, but I'll try my hardest.
Shabbos will be even better. And those murals, and we'll have a good time. But have a good Shabbos and tell everyone to say hi.
When the guys came back from Chicago, described how much chizuk they had. Can you imagine your last wish to spend time with your friends? And they all got to go. We don't understand, as Rabbi David said, Rabbi Blavatsky said, we don't understand the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you understood how much impact it had on us in this world that we could even see now, the spirits that you lifted when you learned from him, the way you felt learning that 6,000 daf together, with Shua one time, with Matthew one time, how much impact you had on his last few weeks. Last night I was at a celebration of a person who's in Marbitz Torah. Rabbi David Newman, he was here and he had a whole celebration of people coming and learning. He runs over to me, he says to me, "You're in Torah Chaga? Are you people who learned 60,000 pages for Caleb?" So I was like, "It's not 6,000. Someone who's one of the biggest Marbitz in the world heard what you did. He came over to me to tell me how unbelievably awesome it was that you had the opportunity to learn so much Torah. It spread to Muncie, New York. Spread, who knows where else it spread to. It's how we spread to each and every one of us." Again, as none of us understand why or how, maybe because Baruch gave him extra 2 weeks so he could spend time with his friends. Who's to know? But our job is to appreciate whatever impact that we had on him and he had on us, certainly. Those of you who have voice notes of Caleb, play it for yourself. But to understand that, as opposed to there, he was very far away from us. We couldn't see him so much. Now he sees us. Now he sees us. He can understand more how much he means to us. If that in our mind and what we can give and what he would have done anything he could have been to be here. He tried last year, he tried this year again to be back here. He couldn't. But you're zocha to be here. It's his dream that he could be with you right now. So now that we're here, so we do everything we can to make it as if he was here, he'd do this also. He'd sit and learn. He'd sit and daven for his friend who was sick, God forbid, he'd think about his friend who passed away. So as we now daven, at least it was my first davening, I woke up this morning at 6:30 in the morning to an email that he passed away. And I meant to take his name out of my refuah shleima list and end my davening, and I forgot. So it'll be the first davening. I think I won't say his name, but I'll certainly think about him a lot. And we all should. And we're sad, personally we're sad, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has plans different than we understand. We're going to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to thank him for the time that we had. And we'll ask him for extra mitzvahs that we do to look upon Caleb more favorably. Shalom Shalom Aliyah from all that we do from now and really forever.
Please have in mind, Yisrael Yehuda ben Levin Achan.